Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Turning Towards Life, our weekly conversation project that comes out of, Lizzie, your and my work in Third Space and out of many other commitments that we have in the world. And we are delighted to be back for our 87th Sunday morning. I'm so enjoying counting this. For what is always live and unrehearsed, and our intention every time is to get into the most real conversation we can, spurred by the sources that we bring. And so, Lizzie, you've brought something wonderful that comes from close in to your life, which I'm very grateful for and really looking forward to talking about it with you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry for the technical kerfuffles. And welcome to this week. I have brought this source, which is by a wonderful person called Magdi, who is, by the kind of world ways of labelling things, my stepdaughter. But none of us, neither me or Magdi, feel very comfortable with the term stepdaughter or stepmother. So it's a bit strange saying that, because I think what's there is a depth of relationship and sharing and respect. But I don't think there's much daughtering or mothering going on in all realities of things, if you know what I mean. It's an interesting term for me anyway, as somebody who's involved in a family, but I don't particularly see myself as mothering. I see myself as accompanying and being with and staying in conversation. So, and of course, maybe there's many definitions of mothering, but Maggie and I often feel weird about the stepmom, stepdaughter thing because of all the connotations that come around it. So anyway, Magdi's written this lovely poem. We went to see her in Brighton, where she lives, on Monday. And we had a very beautiful set of conversations. And then when we left, she wrote this poem and sent it to me and her dad. And it's just, it moved me. And she's also been listening to Turning Towards Life, and it feels like a lovely point of integration that's possible, that I could gift this by way of bringing it as a source to the rest of our community, and also have it be more deeply part of me. And to discuss it with you, Justin, means that I can feel it more, I think. Mm. I think this is part of the process for me of picking these sources, is that of course I read them on my own, and then when we get to talk about them, there's a deepening of relationship into the person who created it, the reality that they find themselves in when that creative outpouring comes, and a way of receiving it more fully for myself as well. So that's really my intention here, is to receive this much more fully and to hear everything you have to say as well, because obviously to different people things land differently and process differently as well. And all of it is so welcome in the inquiry as to what on earth something is and what something means. So I'm very grateful to be sharing this, and we are sharing with permission from Magdi as well. I asked her if this would be okay, and she said yes. She's very glad of it. So she might be listening now, so hi Mags, and I hope you enjoy us talking about your wonderful work. So Justin, are you happy if I read and then you read?
Yes, I'll just say one thing before you read, Lizzie. Yeah. And say two things. One is, I'm so struck, as we do this week by week, how sources, things that people have written, come alive in the midst of relationship. They're different in exactly the way that you describe, because they arise in between us, and of course in between us and everyone who's listening and participating here. So it's quite a thing to read. I've also, of course, read Magdi's poem, but to read it with you and be in dialogue with you about it always brings something fresh and unexpected, which of course is the whole point of this. But I'm wanting to say that, and it's for me it's a model. What we're doing here is a model of how any of us might come at what is written or said or created by others, is to bring it into the midst of community and to the midst of dialogue. But I also wanted to say, just by way of reminder to anyone, we have a growing number of people who, many people who are joining us live on Facebook on Sunday mornings, but a growing number of people who not only watch afterwards, but who are listening afterwards on our podcast. And I want to say to all of you who are listening, welcome. And if you want to find the source, you can always come back to turningtowards.life, which is the little microsite for this project where all the sources are always kept. So you can come and read Magdi's words and all the other words that we've spoken about over these past weeks there.
Thanks, Justin. So here we go. So this is called I Come Palms Up. I come palms up, extending surface area. I want to absorb all I can. Be open, forgiving. I am a spirit. I am whole. I am everything you are. I am everything I love, and I'm everything I do not understand. Let me learn, let me stay open, let me become more than I have ever been.
So before I read this, I'm going to say something that you very often say, Lizzie, which is, if you're listening, see what you can do to let yourself soften and settle before I read. I'm going to go as far as to say one way you could listen to this is to come at it palms up and see what happens in hearing it this way. So this is I Come Palms Up by Magdi Nguyen. I come palms up, extending surface area. I want to absorb all I can. Be open, forgiving. I am a spirit. I am whole. I am everything you are. I am everything I love. And everything I do not understand. Let me learn. Let me stay open. Let me become more than I have ever been.
So Justin, as you're reading that, it feels like a kind of some kind of portal to me. Like there's a succinctness to it and an invitation to a way of being in the world that feels very, very life-giving and very like earthy and warm and clear. And there's something about the way that, so one of the things that I don't know how to talk about, but I know is really moving, is the I am everything I love and everything I do not understand. And I think it's something to do with the relationship between love and understanding. And how maybe when I don't understand something, it's harder for me to love. But to define myself as that which I don't understand is a greater invitation to love. And it's so clever the way that that's written and the way that it jumbles me and opens something that I don't know or get. And for me, that line was the one that was like, whoa, hold on a second, I need to like stay with that and let it be, let it teach me something.
There's, I think, a very wonderful and beautiful bit of Jewish mysticism, which says before we're born, I may have said this to you, Lizzie, I may have said this here on Turning Towards Life, but I'm going to say it again. Before we're born, an angel holds a light up for us and we see the whole of existence from end to end. And then we get a little touch on our forelip, which is why this little part of us here, I'm pretty sure I've said this here before, but it seems really relevant now, little dimple here, and we forget it all. And then our work in our life is to start, is to open and open and open so that we can remember. And the reason I'm saying it now is,
just for the people on the podcast, Justin's pointing to the top of his lip where the nose meets the top of the lip.
Thank you.
In case you can't see his face.
I would need reminding now and again that, of course, there are now people who listen to us who can't see us. So thank you. So there's something here about, you said this wonderful thing, Lizzie, about it's hard to find words to speak about why these two lines in the middle of Magdi's poem are so powerful. And I'm doing my best. I have a similar kind of thing going on. I'm doing my best to see if I can find some words through. So one part of it, it seems to me, is there is a way in which we are already everything. But we don't know that that's the case. And we make a mistake of thinking that we are way smaller than we really are, that we're some tiny, well, at least I make this mistake. Maybe I shouldn't speak for anyone else, but it's definitely true of me. Like I'm some tiny separate thing. And that my vulnerability, my tenderness is a problem, and I need to protect myself from the world because I'm so small and so other from it all. And the reason I brought in that the Jewish story of the angel and knowing everything is because I think it points in the same place that Magdi's pointing, which is no matter where we take the boundaries of ourselves to be, and for many of us they're way close in, I'm just this tiny thing and I have to defend and defend and defend. It's very helpful to know that that's not the end of us, that we are already even everything that we don't know. And that's what I think it is to come palms up in the world, to the world, is in those times when we can find ourselves coming into the world open to whatever is actually here, rather than trying to have what's here not be. And there's a few times in my life, I very often participate in, you'll know this, Lizzie, partly because it was through your family that I got introduced to this, but I participate in family constellations workshops. And very often, and I have had the opportunity to do this as part of the process, to lie on the floor face down with my hands out and up in front of me, palms up. And it's such a tender way to be in the world, just to let ourselves be open to what's here. So there's a huge invitation in Magdi's words to do that. And it helps enormously that she said right in the middle what you're pointing out, which is, in a way, we don't have to be afraid. Or if we are afraid, that's part of everything too. Does it make any sense to you as I say it that way?
Totally. And I feel like it's kind of a call to undefendedness. Like when I'm feeling you lying on the floor with your palms up, and for me that's a massively powerful position to hold with my hand. And when I clench my fists and I feel in my body what that feels like and what's possible, of course, like punching comes to mind, and defending and being behind my fists so that I am protected. When I come palms up and I'm undefended, I then have access to everything I don't understand in a different kind of way, because I'm not separating myself from that which I don't understand. I'm opening to it. And so, of course, it makes complete sense what you're saying to me, Justin, this, as I open my palms and I leave them facing into the world, upwards, outwards, I can feel that possibility of being touched by an angel on the top piece of my lip and making that little mark that we all have running down from our noses to our lips. And I think that's what happens when lines like that are written in poems for me, is that the glimpse happens. The glimpse of the expansiveness, the glimpse of the possibility, the glimpse of something extraordinarily supportive that's very different to my narrative of smallness and powerlessness that I can get into when I'm in the kerfuffle of my life and things are going wrong and people are not being the way I think they should or whatever, to attack and judge and defend is a different thing than the invitation to soften. As you said, it's a softening thing. To soften and to become physically open to whatever, whoever is in front of me feels aligned with this possibility of the angel and the everything, the seeing everything before we, maybe before we come fully into our bodies or something and feel the constraints of being human. And so it's a call to something very real. And it feels like a something. I feel empowered because I feel like I can cultivate that. I feel like I can do something about that. I can turn my palms when I'm feeling clenched. I can do that. I can actually do that. And it's not some kind of climbing Mount Everest or something. It's or going for a run every day or anything. It's like I can turn my palms up, and I can see just how much I don't understand. And see the things that I don't understand as a call for me to love, rather than all the other things I might do when I don't understand something or someone.
Makes me wonder what you're saying. What would happen if instead of when we get small and fearful and rigid and defensive and all of those kinds of things, instead of making all that we don't understand other, so there's me and I have to keep myself safe from the unpredictability of this world, if instead of doing that we took up Magdi's invitation and said, I am already everything I don't understand, it's not other to me, I already am that, as are all of us. Which I think is the angel showing us the whole of existence from end to end. It's the same move. It's the same understanding. Because I'm very struck, as you're speaking, by something that I know that we talk about a lot when we are doing the work of helping people learn how to be coaches, which is such a big part of our work, is pointing out that one of the mysterious things about being a human being is that we take up a whole way of being in the world, a whole interpretation of life, and then we live in accordance with that interpretation, which in turn has us, keeps the interpretation going, and we keep ourselves going. We don't even know that that's going on. And I can so feel that for myself when you're speaking. When I am afraid, as I often am, and feel small, as I often do, and feel like I have to defend myself against the world, and at the same time also that there's something wrong with me and I won't be able to do it, not only does the world become very small, and not only does, of course, indivisibly from that, my body get tight and tense and inside as well as outside, and I'm further away from everybody and everything. Not only is all of that happening, but I often don't even get that I'm participating in that, that it's not just a way that the world is, that I am actively a participant in bringing about that way of being in the world, and it's self-sustaining. And of course, when I'm in that, and everything is other, everything I don't know and I don't understand is other and is threatening. All there is to do is to defend myself. And I don't mostly, Lizzie, know that I'm doing that, apart from I have practices in my life to do regardless of whether I feel like it or not, and regardless of anything else, that have the possibility of reminding me how mistaken I often am, because I do the practice. So for example, one of them is, as I've spoken about here before, is I swim. And this morning I went swimming in the ponds on Hampstead Heath near where I live. So it's outdoors and full of fish and ducks and all that. And I know that when I get in the pond, I relearn what Magdi's teaching us. However I'm feeling, however convinced I am, I'm in the pond and something else is shown to me. And that's one of a number of practices any of us can have. And I'm struck that that's the invitation of Magdi's first, the title of this poem, to practice coming palms up. That even when I'm most afraid, there's really something to be said for lying face down on the floor with my hands out in front of me and my palms up and letting myself feel what's that like, letting practice interrupt me, just like Magdi's words interrupt us, because otherwise I keep going round and round and round and round, and it's a terribly small place to be.
And somehow, Justin, what's occurring to me while you're speaking is, you know, one of the ways that I, and I'm sure many others too, but this definitely happens to me, is that one of the ways I think my narrative gets, I participate in my narrative, my story about what's going on, staying the same, is when I find it hard to understand somebody inside relationship with me. So when someone has a point, I literally, I disagree so hard with. And in that moment, I know my fists clench and I know I'm ready for a fight and I know I'm feeling reactive. And maybe that's why, partly why that invitation to be that which I don't understand and relating that to love is so compelling to me. Because of course, inside of that relationship, the majority of time, my intention is to love. My intention is to be forgiving, to be holding the relationship is more important than my point of view or whatever. But so often my point of view takes over. And it's often from a place of like, I literally don't understand how on earth you could be thinking that. You know, I notice all kinds of things like that, like politically, inside relationship with people that I'm close to, all that kind of thing. And having a practice that at least shows me what I'm up to, even if I can't do it while I'm in it. But at least gives me an opening that I can be in relationship with, even if I'm not practicing it in the moment because I'm reacting, oh, I'm cross or I'm angry or whatever it is. And letting there be that possibility of the everythingness being present inside of a conflict, that the conflict that seems like it's got me, the argument I'm having seems like this is it. You know, it has a quality for me. It's like when I'm in an argument or a disagreement of some kind, it's got a kind of gripping quality, like, well, this is it. This is everything to me right now. And of course it's not. It's like a drop in a huge, big, whopping great ocean. But it's so hard to see that when you're in amongst it and you're like right up and close with something very contrary to what you believe or think or feel. And to have this as a support, this invitation of palms up as a support to staying open and keeping the door open for something other than the clench that happens when I'm in my reactive state I think is like for me a lifelong dedication and practice, and one that I fail at all the time, but that I don't want to ever let go of, because it feels like it's hopeful, and it gives me a chance at least that sometimes I can take the offering of something much bigger than whatever I'm in right now. Sometimes it takes me a little time to remember that, and there are times where I can remember it and I can rely on it and I can be reminded of it. And poems like this are that, the beautiful invitation and reminder to cultivate something other than my clenchedness. And it's so very welcome. And doing this is one of those things. Doing this is more than a glimpse for me. It's not just a kind of drop. It's a robust space where we get to be talking like this. And it's like fuel for the best kind of fire in me that keeps me alight and keeps me bright. And in amongst the imperfection of my life, there are these continual invitations to open and to be less defended and to cultivate this unclenchedness that is different to my smallness and my powerlessness.
There's an amazing, as we're talking, I'm appreciating the elegance and power of Magdi's words. And what you're saying about how we learn to be in relationship, how we might learn to be in relationship in a way that's less defended, is pointed to so beautifully by this pair of lines just before the ones you drew attention to. I am whole. Which of course also means that others are too. Because it would be a weird world in which I was the only one who was whole. It would be a big misunderstanding. And I am everything that you are. Because if we're going to open to the possibility of both being everything we love and everything we do not understand, it has to also be the case that when we come across other human beings, there's a very profound way in which we're alike. And what Magdi's words do so brilliantly is they remind us that if you and I are in conflict and I don't understand, it can simultaneously be true that I am everything I don't understand. So there is a way in which I am you. And it is also true that I don't understand that you are other. So it seems to me that we have to both learn to treat others as other. We have to not go, well, you just must, I demand that you see the world the same way as I do, and that you have the same commitments that I do, and that you, all of that. We have to give that up, but we also can't go as far as to so other the other person that we go, well, but I couldn't even imagine holding the same position that you are. We have to do both simultaneously. You're other and I don't understand, and I am that. And it's only when we can do both of those together that we have a chance of being with one another in a way where we have any chance of understanding one another, or finding what in common we stand on, or simply respecting the inherent dignity of being a human being. So I'm learning that in a new way from, and I've never thought of saying this particular combination of we have to know the other as other, but we also have to know ourselves as everything that is other.
Yeah.
Both at the same time. And like you say, for most of us, that takes enormous practice. It's not something that comes easily in the heat of feeling triggered or defensive or angry or confused or any of these things.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, I'm feeling into the way that I lose my perspective of the depth of what's, I mean, of course I can't know what's really going on. I mean, I really, really know I don't know what's going on a deeper level about being human and relationships. I think it's a grand, grand mystery to me. And I feel like I forget that there's a depth way, way deeper than this conversation that we're having right now. You know, whether it's this even or an argument or whatever it is, there's some mysterious life unfolding that's happening that I'm not in control of and that is benevolent and in service of life unfolding the way that it needs to. And I'm recognizing that I also forget that. And it's born of this way you're saying, the otherness, embracing otherness as me and as other simultaneously. In order to do that, I have to come from somewhere much deeper. I have to deepen, I have to soften, I have to have my palms up. Because I can't, in a non-expanded space inside of me and through my body, it's too difficult to sink down into something deeper, a deeper sense, a deeper appreciation of life. And so I love it that we're talking about, you know, practices that return us to that depth. And each of us is so different. Like we, you know, practices in relationship might be more reminding than practices on our own. Practices on our own might be more reminding for some people than practices together. And in different spaces might impact us differently. You know, like the way you talk about the fish and the ducks, particularly for you, that natural, cold, beautiful Hampsteadness is a massive reminder, and it could look different for anyone else. Like it could be yoga, it could be the position that you're talking about of lying down with palms up, it could be being in nature in some way where we hug trees, God knows what else we could come up with. It might be Aikido, it might be, you know, martial art of some kind that's both solitary and in relationship but very physical. And I feel like in itself, that's an art to know oneself, to know what helps and to keep the experiment going for our whole lives, to know what, because it will shift inevitably as well, and to know what reconnects us to this something deeper. And I think writing poetry is an incredible practice, which might be one of Magdi's practices maybe. And I don't know how often she maybe writes all these lovely poems, but to keep going and to keep investigating ourselves through these practices, to know ourselves at a different depth than our habitual going about our business, but intentionally cultivating something that brings us to depth and to expansiveness and to a palms up undefendedness. I wonder what that would be for all of us and how the world might be very different if we were all dedicated and cultivating that intentional deepening of our lives. So Justin, I'm looking at the time and thinking that it's time for us to say goodbye, and also I just want to say one last appreciation of Magdi for writing this for us, and I'm feeling the gift very much received of this poem, and I'm sure other people are too. And it's important for me to express that this poem is important to us, and just like all of our other sources, it truly is a gift to receive these and to be able to talk about them. And I'm very grateful for this space and for the opening I feel and the softening I feel through right now through being in this conversation.
Yes, thank you, Lizzie, and Magdi, thank you to you as well for the gift of these words. And thank you to all of you who are with us. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Thanks.